Well, good morning, and welcome to Grace Harvest Baptist Church. This is an unusual place for me to be right this second. As Jeff came and told me, he said, Pastor, you don't give up the pulpit much. It's been over 115 sermons since your pastor has not preached in his pulpit. I guard it very jealously. And that's not a bad thing. The only ones that stand in this pulpit are ones that we trust to speak the Word of God and speak His truth. This morning, it is my privilege to introduce to you, and after I introduce to him, I'm read a passage and then I'm going to pray for Shannon. But it's my privilege to introduce a friend, a brother in Christ. He is an encouragement to me, and if you had several of us had the privilege to see Danielle and Shannon in their home in Uganda, and what a blessing it was to see these two in their home. And they live their life for Christ, just like you see them walking through the church, is who they are. Shannon, as he's told the 9 o'clock group, he graduated from master's undergrad, and then he graduated from master's seminary. He got his master's there, and then he continued on with his doctorate. He doesn't like for anybody to call him doctor, so I call him Doc anyway. Shannon received his doctorate in expositional preaching, and they have 8 children, is that correct? And 30-some plus kids in their home that they're taking care of right now as we speak. They are a man and woman after God's own heart, and it's my privilege to have him come stand in the pulpit in just a minute and share what God has laid on his heart with you. I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. Through him also he created the world. Father, as my brother comes, as another mere man stands behind this pulpit to proclaim your truth, Father, I pray that you use him up today for your glory. I pray, Father, that hearts that are hurting would be encouraged today. I pray for the one, Father, who is outside of your will today would come running back. I pray for the one, Father, the heart of stone, Lord, that you'd make a heart of flesh today. Father, may you receive the glory for what's done in this place this day. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
To be a hero, to impact a life, to leave a legacy. Deep in the villages of Uganda, Africa, there are kids who need your help. In the village of Kabatwe and its surrounding villages are hundreds of sweet and joyful kids looking at life with excitement and filled with great aspirations. The challenge these kids face, however, is that they were born into impoverished families. The average child in this village lives in a well-groomed mud hut with a grass-thatched roof, or a handmade clay brick house with a tin roof. He lives without electricity, plumbing, or running water, and sleeps with his whole family on the small mud floor. Each day, these children wake up and fetch water for baths, drinking, cooking, and laundry. They assist their parents in their crops to help them provide the necessary food requirements for their family. The average income of a family in this community is 20,000 shillings per month, the equivalent of only $120 per year. For most of these kids, education has never been a real option. This is because they have been forced to go to schools that resemble wooden shacks. Unfortunately, this is the best that this society has to offer. And subsequently, the school does not attract quality teachers, and therefore is incapable of producing successful students. Currently in this village area, 98% of people don't go past high school. Only 35% finish elementary school. 6% have finished the equivalent of a junior high education. And only 54% have ever even gone to school.
Without intervention, the end result is that these kids will grow up with little ability to read, write, or think critically. They will grow up with little opportunity to succeed or break the current cycle of poverty. However, through the Ministry of Sufficiency of Scripture Ministries, Kababantwe now has established a primary school, Legacy Christian Academy. This school is dedicated to providing high-quality education for these underprivileged children. Due to the provision of high-quality housing and beautiful classrooms, the school elicits the services of high-qualified Ugandan teachers and administrators. What SOS needs next are heroes. People who are willing to use their God-provided resources to make a difference in the life of a child. People who are willing to sacrifice $35 a month to change the life of an individual. This contribution will go towards providing salaries, uniforms, lunch, curriculum, school supplies, and other extracurricular activities. Through this investment, you will also get a chance to interact with your child through letter and gift exchanges throughout the year, giving the opportunity to both broaden one's worldview and expand one's gratitude for all of God's unnoticed blessings. This is your opportunity to leave a legacy, your opportunity to make a difference and impact a life. This is your opportunity to be a hero.
Well, good morning, everyone. That video is very old. It's awesome to see how far we've come, but that is an old video from back in the day. That was a school, that wooden shack thing was a school that was there. That school is no longer there. And God is richly blessed through our primary school. We now have a full high school, full elementary school, and now building the junior high school area. We're just amazed at where how far God has taken us and all God's doing. Amen? Though, we do invite you. I actually didn't realize that video was being played. So we'll show you more videos tonight. I'm glad it was played just for the sake of promoting an opportunity to get involved in Uganda. You know, your church has been very generous to us, and we are so thankful. We love this family, we love this church, and we are so blessed to be here and be a part of this church family. You guys are impacting people all the way in Uganda, Africa, and for that we can praise the Lord. Amen? And I do want to give you the invitation. This was put in your bulletin, and if you just click on this thing right here with your camera, you can then go right and sponsor a kid. I would love in this church 30 families to be able to sponsor a kid and promote it out there. Just get it out there. Every dollar you give goes directly to help those kids. That $35 doesn't take care of all the needs in terms of the school, but it gets us close, and so we need to get as close as we can in that regard, and it helps one way or another. You can interact through website type things and all of that kind of stuff. We would love and invite you to be a part of it. Part of it too is even giving your kids a greater understanding of what's going on in the rest of the world. And these are real people. When you see this kid on the front, I know this girl. All those kids, I know them. What's fun is to see how much older they've gotten. But those are real faces. And I tell people all the time that I come back here and I got to beg people to help friends that I know, you know, because these are kids that don't grow up in the privileged opportunities that the rest of us have grown up under. And so please, where you can play a role and you can help out, I would ask, beg, plead that you come alongside and help us in that way. Amen? Yeah. Amen. And so we'll leave that on you guys to work that out and pray through. What a joy it is to be here in Virginia. Man, and October is gorgeous. I don't know if you guys don't take it in and appreciate it, but seeing the changing leaves, and my wife just looks radiant with that kind of array behind. Anyway, we went for a walk yesterday with a lake behind us and these beautiful leaves, and I'm going, wow, is this heaven? You know? So you guys live in a beautiful place, and it's a joy to be here. I get this I get to be parachuted in and give a quick message and then helicoptered out of here. So I could say whatever I want. And but I want to encourage you. I, like the rest of you, are watching all the world events and am bewildered, amazed, shocked, concerned. And so what I want to do is I want to give you courage in the face of apostasy, or courage in the face of these depressing days. We should not be shocked by all that is going on. We know that the Bible says in 2 Timothy, and turn your Bibles there. I'm going to have you go to two passages, but turn your Bible to 2 Timothy. We shouldn't be surprised all that's going on, because we know, according to our Bible, chapter 3, it says that in the last days, difficult times will come. Right? Hello. Right? Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want you to follow in your Bible, because I'm gonna take you on a journey here. All right? All right? All right. Good. All right. But look what it says there in chapter 3, in the last days, we are in those days, difficult times will come. Why? Why are difficult times going to come? He tells us, for men will be lovers of self. Verse 2, lovers of many, of money. Verse 3, without self-control. And I'm going to speed read here for the sake of introduction. Verse 4 says that they're going to be lovers of pleasure, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. They will oppose the truth, verse 8. And why? Why will they do this? It's because they are depraved of minds. Oddly, according to verse 5, these people's lifestyles will be ungodly, but they will hold to a form of godliness. According to verse 15, they are evil men, will grow bad to worse. Meaning we haven't seen the worst yet. They're going to go bad to worse. Deceiving and being deceived. This is what our Bible says about the last days. Second fact that is true is when we then open our papers, we realize that in America and Europe, there is a moral decline that is despicable and detestable in every regard. Like never before, wretched and debauched behavior is boldly and proudly being pronounced as normal. I'm speaking to the choir at this moment. And not only that, it's being pushed and promoted openly and universally. Morality of the world is popularized and seeking to be legalized everywhere. This whole idea of abortion and homosexuality and its promotion throughout movies, being pushed as if this is normal, natural behavior. This idea of transgenderism whatever all other things are associated with that. It's crazy in our day, and it's hard to imagine. And I know that there might be some people being struggling with that even in this room, because you are being bombarded by the TV and all that it's offering. And we understand that. We want to care for you. We want to love you. We understand all that. But the idea that a man can consider himself to be a woman is crazy to the average Christian individual. Defunding the police is illogical. These immoral agendas being pushed down the throats of our country, even professional sports are pushing them and are being expressed in every form throughout our media outlets, makes it very difficult for us as believers to know how should we respond. What should we do? Because what the Bible is calling sin, the world is promoting as normal and wanting those actions to become acceptable. And for the church to call it sin, we are then to be seen as intolerant and unloving. How are we to respond to such things? That's what I want to talk about this morning. What I want to do is I want to provide an exhortation from you from 2 Timothy, and then what I want to do is I want to provide an encouragement from you from the life of Hezekiah. And my desire is, prayer is that you'll run out of here with a greater renewed passion to face the day. And that you would know exactly your responsibility, exactly the calling in which God has given you in this day. How are you to respond? Well, look with me, starting at the exhortation from Paul. The exhortation from Paul. In verse 10 of chapter 3, he gives us two pieces of instruction. He says, one, look with me, follow his example. Look at this. He says this in verse 10. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, and love, perseverance and suffering, such as happened to me in Antioch and at Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to what? Live godly in Christ Jesus will be what?
Persecuted.
Interesting passage. Everyone who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. What is his one first exhortation? His first exhortation is this: follow my example. Follow my example. Follow it. I went before you. I went into these corrupt societies. I went into the Galatian nations where nobody knew God, where everybody ran from him. Everybody did what was right in his own eye. And I proclaimed the truth about Christ. Follow his example. Follow his example for the good of the people, for the glory of God. He gives us a second thing that he did. Look with me in starting in verse 13. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and be deceiving. However, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of knowing from whom you have received them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. What is the second thing he tells us to do? First, follow my example. Secondly, what I want you to do is continue to uphold the truth of God's word. Continue to uphold the truth of God's word. Listen to the truth of God's word. By way of a quick exhortation, and then I want to take you in the life of Hezekiah to encourage you and show you how this is done. I want to exhort you, my dear friends, we, in our day, in our hour, we must know this book. We must know this book. We must uphold the truth of God's word. We must be more committed to this than ever before, because you're being bombarded with lies. You're being bombarded with false truths. You're being bombarded where you throw truth out to embrace error. We must know this book. In the days of you sitting in the pew and just hearing the pastor and going home and not becoming a friend of the Bible must end. We must know God's word. Your life, The life of your family, the life of everyone that you love around you is dependent on your love affair with the Word of God. Ministry of SOS, our motto is to empower Uganda with the hope of God's Word, because we know that that is the answer. They lived without a king. Now they know a king, and all of a sudden joy and peace and trust and all of that comes into a society. Why? Because Christ is reigning through His Word. For the sake of our communities, for the sake of your neighbors, for the sake of your friends, and for the sake of this country, we must know this book, uphold this book. This is the truth. This has to be the mission of every home. Every parent must train their kids to know this book. Every individual must know and love this book. We must raise up an army of leaders and families who have a love for God's Word. I want you to look really quickly. Go back two books to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want you to show you that in these last days there will be a great following away. The Antichrist will rise, verse 9. The one who is coming is this Antichrist, and he's coming with the activities of Satan. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. And he's coming with power and signs and false wonders and all the deception of wickedness for those who perish. And why did they perish, according to this passage? Tell me. Because they failed to have a love for the truth so as to be saved. My dear brothers and my dear sisters, follow Paul's example and hold on to this, because this is the truth, and everything around you is going to cave in. And only those who have the love for this, a love for the words of our King, will be able to stand. Sounds glim. It sounds scary. But it shouldn't be, because we have many men that have gone before us. And I want to show you such a man in the man of Hezekiah. Take your Bibles to 2 Chronicles. Some of you don't know where that's at. Second Chronicles. Turn with me to chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. I want to show you Hezekiah, because Hezekiah was the king of Israel. And he was a king during days of apostasy within the nation of Israel, in the dark days of Israel's decline. And Hezekiah's life made him a successful reformer. And I think his life will motivate our life. Second Chronicles, what I want to provide for you is three truths about the life of Hezekiah. Three truths about the life of Hezekiah that I want to be true in your life. Okay? Okay, good. Three truths about the life of Hezekiah I want you to be true of your life. First truth is this. Hezekiah's life was committed to personally walk in God's good way. Hezekiah's life was personally committed to walk in God's good way. Look with me in 2 Chronicles, not Corinthians, but Chronicles 29, starting in verse 1 and 2. It says this. Are we ready? Is your neighbor there? Look at your neighbor. We do this in Africa, so we can do this here. Look at your neighbor. If they're not, you can give them a good old lovely beat in the chest, okay? Hezekiah 29, verse 1. I'm sorry, 2 Chronicles. It says this. Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And look what it says about his life. This is describes Hezekiah's life. He did what? Right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. Another passage in 1 Kings says he loved the Lord fully and did not go to the right or to the left. I have said this many times, that God is king. We are in his universe. He is the one to whom we report. His way is the best. And Hezekiah, as a king, committed himself that I will obey him as master. I'll obey his words, and I will walk in them. I will not go to the right. I will not go to the left. That was the commitment of Hezekiah. This is what described him in the sight of God. And in order to understand how significant the statement is, you need to understand what went on before him. Hezekiah's dad, Ahaz, was the worst king Judah had ever known up to this point. One chapter earlier, in chapter 28, it says that Ahaz, this is what described him. He did not do what was right in the sight of God, but walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. According to verses 2 through 4, which says this in chapter 28, it says, but he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He made molten images for Baals. However, he burned incense in the valley of Ben and burned the sons of his father, sons in fire, according to the abominations of the nations, whom the Lord had driven out before all Israel. He sacrificed and burned incenses on the high places and the hills and every tree. He sacrificed sons. He did exactly what God had commanded him not to do. And if that wasn't bad enough, in verse 22, we realize that he actually comes and stops the practice of worship to God and brings in a practice that was being done in Babylon. He was king for 20 years. He ended any godly tradition of the four kings that had gone before him, who deliberately and in defiance served against God. He brought Baal, the same God that was being practiced in Canaan before Israel entered the land. He observed infant sacrifice of false gods. He took the gods of Damascus and brought them into Jerusalem, established a new place of worship, thanking the gods of Damascus for victory. And then he intentionally damaged the temple utensils and closed the door to the temple so that everyone was forced to worship in accordance to Ahaz's wishes. You think you have it bad? Can you imagine being forced now to not worship God? All door churches are closed. That was the situation going on here. So it was in the face of his dad's total rebellion of God that Hezekiah committed himself to walk in what? In God's ways. In what?
God's ways.
That's how he committed himself. No matter what my dad did, I know God. I know his ways, and I will be committed to follow after him. He could have easily just gone with everybody else, but he said, no. I must walk in God's way. And Hezekiah restored the godly traditions of the kings of Judah. He was a man that trusted in the Lord. Look with me really quickly at 2 Kings, and I'll keep your finger in 2 Chronicles. We're coming back there. I just have to read this. 2 Kings chapter 18. It says this in verse 3, that he did right in the sight of the Lord according all that his father David had done. Verse 5, it says he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor among those who were before him. For he clung to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord had commanded him. Look at verse 7 too. And the Lord was with him wherever he went, he prospered. Let me tell you, guys, in this day and age, everything might be falling apart around you, but you must cling to God. Put your trust in him. You must not let go, not go to the right, not go to the left. And listen, the temptations are all around us. And I don't know how we can continue to watch television and not be bombarded. You can do what you want. That's up to you. But let me just say to you, it's not easy. You cannot love two masters, right? At this day and age, you must cling to the Word of God. Cling to it. It is the truth. It is the life. You must trust in God and not turn to the right, not turn to the left. Do not depart from his commandments. Believe him no matter what everyone else believes. Hezekiah knew God's word was the truth, and he was determined to walk in it regardless of any cost. And the first 4 years of his life were while his dad was still alive. He reigned with boldness and conviction. And this stemmed down from his own devotion to God. Abide in me and you will bear what? Much fruit. Apart from you can what? Delight yourself in the law of God and upon it meditate day and night. And you then will be a tree planted by the streams of water. If you think you can live in this day without a radical obsession to know God and sit at his feet and love his word, you have to be kidding me. Because you are greater than what the Bible even promised. The Bible promises you cannot love God, live in this world with purity and with devotion without an obsession for God. Hezekiah was committed to that type of devotion. All of us, if we're going to make it in the dark days of the apostasy surrounding us, you must be a person who is personally committed to following God wholeheartedly and in all God's ways. You must resolve right now at all costs to be a man of no compromise. In order to do this, you must be a man of or a woman of the book. You must meditate on it, saturate your mind in it, and have your heart continually meditating upon it. You must hate anything that draws you away from it. Sin, media, environment, anything. I'll never forget the young believer. I had a girlfriend, went too young in life. And I remember this girlfriend. There, because I had this girlfriend, I would be spending time with God each day, but because she'd want me to kiss her. And of course I would kiss her. And then all of a sudden I'd go back and I'd read my Bible and I'd go, oh, I know I need to not be doing that. And then there was this fight obey God or not? Thank God for the word. Do not let sin pull you away. And look, sin easily entangles us. It'll easily pull us away from God's word. But devote yourself now to love this book and be in it daily. That was the life of Hezekiah. Hezekiah knew that no one could serve two masters. That he's going to either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. And he chose to love God and despise anything else. Hate the other. And we must have that same devotion as Hezekiah. You think it was easy for Hezekiah? He was the big man. He could have easily gone the way of his father. Secondly, second truth about Hezekiah's life. Are we ready? Are you alive?
Yes.
Come on, you got quiet on me. Don't be doing that. Second truth about Hezekiah's life is this. He was committed to lead his immediate community to follow after God's good way. He was committed to lead his community, immediate community, after God's good way. God's good way. Look with me in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 29, verse 3. It says this. In the first year, wasted no time, of his reign, in the first month, talk about knowing what he's going to do. It sounds like Obama, but Obama did, Biden. First day, you know, he signs all these things that are against God, right? Hezekiah, just the opposite. First day, first month, what does he do? He opens the doors of the house of the Lord and repairs them. He brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them into the square. Hezekiah drastically reforms Israel's worship back to God immediately. He reopens the doors of the house and repairs them, verse 3. He restores the priests and the Levites, verse 4. He consecrates the priests in the temple and restores Israel's place of worship in verse 5. Verse 6 says this. Look with me as it says. For our fathers. See, this is what Hezekiah says to them as he's doing it. Are you ready? This is what he says. For our fathers have been unfaithful. This is bold preaching. And have done evil in the sight of the Lord our God, and have forsaken and turned their backs away from the dwelling place of the Lord, and have turned their backs, have turned their faces away, and here they've turned their backs. They have also shut the doors of the porch and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place of the God of Israel. Therefore the wrath of the Lord was against Judah and Jerusalem, and he has made them an object of terror, of horror, of hissing, as you see with your own eyes. For behold, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives and are captive for us, for this. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, that his burning anger will turn away. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him and to minister to him, and to be his ministers and to burn incense. What is he saying? Hezekiah is saying, look, this is what I've chosen, but I'm not content. I'm not going alone. All of you, you're coming with me. We're going to love God together. We do not want the path that leads to destruction. We want the path that leads to peace. And all of you, let's go. We must repent. We must come back to God. We must honor the king. That's what he says. Hezekiah was bold to call for reformation. He did not beat around the bush. He directly called sin to be sin and called everyone to repent and called them back to God's way. According to verse 20, it says, when he was done with the priests, then in verse 20, the king Hezekiah rose early and assembled the princes of the city. And went to the house of the Lord. He's like, let me start with the temple. Now let me go to our neighbor, Jerusalem. Let's get all of the leaders. And we're going to lead a reform. leads all the elite. Verse 36 says this, Hezekiah did, and all the people rejoiced over what God had prepared for the people, because the thing came about suddenly. Hezekiah and those closest to him restored true worship back to Israel. Dear friends, listen. This must have been hard for Hezekiah. You think he got criticism? Oh, you bet he did. I'm sure he got met with great resistance, but regardless, for the good of his friends, the good of Israel, the good of his neighbors, he proclaimed their need to get right with their king. See, some of you guys, you may not be serving the king. You may not know the king. But now is time to get right with the king. Now is time to bend the knee to the king. Oh, you can live any way you want. You're free. Yes, you're free. But let me tell you, the consequences of living in rebellion against God are painful. They offer promises of joy, but they end in heartache, destruction, and misery. And some of you, I'm most concerned for young parents, because you have this one time in your life to live it right before your kids. And when you fail here, oh, Maquana, my friends, you fail. Because later on, you're just living in regret because you've taught your kids the way that doesn't lead to life. Oh, friends, as Hezekiah calls you back, called his people back to the king, I call you back to the king. Regardless of what happens around us, dear friends, we must be true to our Lord for the sake of our loved ones. Let me ask you some questions here. How are you doing, fathers and mothers? How are you doing at teaching your children God's word so that they can see directly what the king says? You have one responsibility as parents, to train up your children to what? Know and love God's word. You got to get their heart. You got to love them and show them what the king says. How are you doing at reaching your communities? Have we given up on our communities? Could we not send a flyer that says we're going to do a Bible study and just see who shows up? We sit around in our church circles and we say, bemoan what's going on, but we do nothing to help our neighbor. What's wrong, church? Have we become so cold that our hearts don't bleed for our neighbor? Where are the brokenhearted people who actually care to reach out to those who are lost in sin's dark lies? We have to go from loving God ourselves to loving our neighbor. How are we doing upholding God's word as a church family? I know this brother is all in. We can't fail to uphold our God-entrusted responsibility to our immediate circles, to our children, to their children. If you don't love God's word, God and his word, please, for the sake of your family, the sake of yourself, come back. Sin doesn't offer. Come, love God wholly and fully, and teach your kids the sweetness of God's good word. Third truth about Hezekiah's life, and this gets exciting. Third truth about Hezekiah's life was he was committed to lead his nation to follow after God's good word. This becomes fun and exciting. Hezekiah was not content with just reforming Judah, the southern kingdom. He took an additional step further and called the whole nation of Israel, the northern kingdom and the southern tribes, all into repentance. Now, you got to understand, this is crazy. Israel had split as a nation. There was Israel as a whole under David and under Solomon. Then it split as a nation. 10 tribes went north, 2 south. These 2 obeyed God most of their history. These, from the moment they rebelled, they worshiped a false god. They literally created a new system because they knew that if they kept this system, these people would go back. So they created a false system of worship so that the whole nation would be bound in their apostasy. Hezekiah says, look, you see my friends this way? I love them. They're my family. I've got to go, and I got to get them. And he not only calls these people to repentance, he goes on a mission, on an evangelistic mission, to call all of them to come and follow the Lord. Look with me at chapter 30, verse 1. It says, now Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover of the Lord. Passover of the Lord, God of Israel. Now, he sent these letters to Ephraim and Manasseh, the people that hated God the most. Look at verse 5. So they established a decree and circulated a proclamation throughout all Israel from Beersheba, even to Dan, that they should come to celebrate the Passover of the Lord, the God of Israel, at Jerusalem. For they had not celebrated it in great numbers as it was prescribed. This is a crazy deal. This is awesome. This is bold. Unbelievable move by a great leader. At this point in Israel's history, Israel is divided. And here he's calling both of them to come and worship God, calling them to repent. Look at verses 6 to 9 and listen to the message that goes out. Here is a letter that goes out and is circulated everywhere. Are we ready?
Yes.
Come on, are we ready?
Yeah.
I'm giving you a little history here. Come on now, we're okay. Look what he says in verse 6. Right in the middle there, it says, O sons of Israel, return to the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, that he may return to those of you who escaped and are left from the hand of the kings of Assyria. Do not be like your fathers and your brothers who were unfaithful to the Lord God of their fathers, so that he made them a horror as you see. Now, do not stiffen your neck like your fathers, but yield to the Lord and enter a sanctuary which he has consecrated forever to serve the Lord your God. His burning anger may turn away from you. For if you return to the Lord, your brothers and your sons will find compassion before those who led them captive and will return to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate, will not turn his face away from you if you return to what? Him. Oh, guys. Hezekiah loved his nation. And he says, look, guys, please. Here is the message. Return to your king. Return to your... Come on. Return to your... Look, I don't know where you're at in this relationship with God. There is a king. That king's laws have embedded in this country. America as a whole has abandoned and does not even acknowledge God anymore. But it doesn't change the fact that there is a king. I live in a country where I see the effects of sin. Abandonment of children everywhere. A lack of love and trust and intimacy. Tears and pain and hatred and bitterness. Is that really where you want your life going? It's not. So this morning I would call you what Hezekiah says, don't stiffen your neck. But come and return to the King. Why? That our nation can continue to enjoy the sweetness of trust and care and submission to authority and all the order and joy that comes from that. So that your home can have a husband and a wife, covenanted in marriage, loving each other with all of their heart, love and providing this shelter and care for children where you adore them and they adore you. Come back to the King. Do it the King's way. It's not archaic. It's the best. Hezekiah was a man on a mission. Wasn't content just with his immediate community. He had to reach all of them. The beautiful thing is it led to repentance. Look at verse 10. It says this. Look at this here for me. I want to show you what happens here. Look at verses 10 and 11. Before we look at repentance, look what happens. So they take this letter. It says the couriers passed from what? City to city. And through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, and as far as Zebulun, and what happened? What was their reception? They laughed at them, and scorned them, and mocked them. Then it says this, nevertheless, some of the men of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. And the hand of the Lord was also on Judah to give them one heart to do what the king and the princes had commanded by the word of the Lord. I love it. This is awesome. See what happens? In the face of all of this, in the face of mockery and scorning, Hezekiah and his men went on a mission of love. And they loved all of their friends, calling them back to the king. And as a result, many responded. Many responded. Oh, my brothers and sisters, don't step back and be cowardly. Step up in love by telling people. Oh, there's a way that the king tells us. And the result was that many responded in repentance. They removed the altars and cleansed the land of holy places of false worship, and the altars altars. According to 31 verse 2, it says this, now all Israel had finished, when they'd finished having that event, all Israel were present, went out to the cities or Judah, broke the pillars in pieces, cut down the Asherim, and pulled down the high places and the altars throughout all Judah and Benjamin, as well as in Ephraim and in Manasseh, until they destroyed them all. Then the sons of Israel returned to their city, each to his own possession. That's awesome. It says, and Hezekiah appointed divisions of the priests and the Levites by their divisions, each according to his service, both the priests and the Levites, for burnt offerings and for the peace offerings, to minister and give thanks, and to praise in the gates in the camp of the Lord. My dear friends, God allowed a repentance to take place. And if you read the rest of the chapter and you just get excited with what goes on, the mission of love resulted in repentance and a restoration of joy and the protection of the nation of Israel. Had they not done this, destruction would have come a lot sooner. but God would preserve the nation. It would have actually come years later. Because as a result of Hezekiah's obedience, when the Assyrians came, God delivered Hezekiah from the Assyrians. I'll talk about that in 1 second, but I just want to say this to you, my dear friends. How did Hezekiah act in the dark days of Israel's history? He first followed God himself. Amen? Then what did he do? He then called his own people, his own community, the immediate spheres of influence to follow after God. And then thirdly, he called the nation to follow after God. Why did he do it? Because he loved his neighbor. Is there a lesson to be learned for us? I think so. Regardless of what happens around us, we must be true to our Lord for the sake of the ones we love. We must uphold the truth. My dear friends, this church is to be a pillar of what? Truth. You are the only salt and the only light that the world around us will see. You have to be faithful to your responsibilities, no matter what others might say to you. The conclusion of Hezekiah's life, Hezekiah, as the verse 7 had said in Kings, the Lord blessed. The end result of following the king, listen to me, all of you. The end result of obedience to king is always blessing. See, the health, wealth, prosperity folks, they want to give you blessing apart from obedience to the king. That's the wrong message. God's message, though, does promise blessing to those who obey the king. You look for joy outside of God, you won't find it, but we find our joy what? In God. We find our joy where?
In God.
And in His way. The end of Hezekiah's life, he experienced God's protection. 185,000 men were killed by an angel of the Lord when the Assyrian army came against them. Why? Because Hezekiah loved his God, committed himself to God's way. And so God delivered him. He also provided an incredible example for Josiah, who comes some years later, of radical reform. For the sake of our country, for the sake of our community, for the sake of our families, let's not cower under these wicked days. Rather, let us be like Hezekiah. Let us personally commit ourselves to walk in God's good way. Let us call our communities to follow God's good way, and let us call our nation to follow God's good way. That's what Hezekiah did, and that's what we're to do. Amen? Let me pray with you to that end. Lord, we just come as friends to fellow brothers and sisters with an eager desire to encourage them. And Lord, we ask that your spirit would go forth, and today, especially these men who I had the joy of being with in the morning, yesterday, I pray that you would give them a love for your word, that they would commit themselves now and for the rest of their living existence to study your word, commune with you, and that they would teach their children, awaken their hearts, O God, to to the role of leadership you've called them to. Pray that you would help the wives to follow under them, because that's your design. That we would be more committed than ever to do everything your way. That we can experience the joy that comes by following you. Father, I pray for this church, Lord, that it would not be a noisy gong, but it would be a loving trumpet of truth. That it would protect the nations around, the peoples around, and keep shouting out your truth. Father, we love you and we thank you for the joy and privilege that we have to share in the fellowship of the believers here in this part of this world. May you encourage them and strengthen them. For the praise of your name we pray. Amen. My wife is going to sing a song just to encourage you before Brother Mark comes.